My name's Hayden. I'm the senior pastor here at Walk Church. And hey, thank you for that. Hey, if you're going to give me a woo-hoo, I'm going to give it back because that message Pastor Marvin preached last Sunday was so good. Fire. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for taking us deeper. Those four T's are going with me into 2024. And grateful and honored. We've already had a great day worshiping the Lord. And I believe that God has something fresh right now for us. And so one more time, my name's Hayden, and I'm honored to kick off 2024 with you, those online, those in the room, Facebook. Consider sharing this link because someone may want to join in. If you're on YouTube, maybe consider hitting subscribe so you can get notified whenever we go live. And we're honored today to open up God's Word and kick off a brand new series here at Walk Church that's called Deepen. Now, if you've been part of our church for the past few years, you know every January we do a new series called Deepen, and it's always fresh and it's always on time, and it's this idea of going beyond the surface. Yeah. The word deepen, by definition, means you're not staying in the shallow end, you're going deeper. You're taking a step into a place that could even be a little bit unknown. It might even rub against your comfort, but that's what it means to go deeper. You're not staying in the lazy river. You're not staying in the kiddie pool splashing each other at church. You're saying, no, God, I want to go deeper in 24. And that is the prayer that I have for us as well. The Lord put a verse on my heart this week. It's Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And I want to go ahead and read it off the screen, and I want you to read it with me. And I want us to go ahead and anchor ourselves to this verse because I believe this is a verse that's gonna launch us into 21 days of prayer and fasting, which kicks off tomorrow. Come on, amen? Yeah. I love this service because that was a lot better of a hypeness than it was like, yum, when I said, right? It was, Come on, read this with me. Ready, set, go. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Yeah. Mm. I love this verse because if I can be really transparent, I sometimes in my own walk have to challenge myself to make sure I believe what I actually believe this says I believe. Amen. That whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Lord, help me with my unbelief. Yes, and I don't know what you're believing for in 2024, but I want to encourage you to believe God for it. Yeah. And over the next 21 days, starting tomorrow on Monday, we're going to launch into 21 days of prayer and fasting. They say, I'm not sure who they is, but it takes 3 weeks, 21 days to either break a bad habit or start a good habit. I thought we should start this year and really every year. Come on, start fresh, amen? Amen. Start new and start with God. And say, God, I really don't want to live off of 2023's blessings. And there's been a lot of them. I'm grateful for how God moved last year. I got journal entries of his activity. I'm thankful for the grace and provision that God has done. But I'm not living in what God did. I want to live in what God will do. I believe there's a window in front of us that's bright and big, and God wants to do something new. He wants to give us something new for 2024. And my prayer is that we'll step in with faith. We'll unlock new things through this intentional time of praying and fasting. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit about the why and the how when it comes to prayer and fasting in this opening sermon. Maybe it's a little bit of an introduction to the topics, but I also pray it would help us when it comes to doing it rightly. One of our core values here at Walk Church, as we see the sign up on the stage, is God dependence. In fact, our first core value here at Walk Church, all of them are important. All of them matter. There's not really like an ordering per se, but we do start with God dependence because we want him to be in and through it all. And my prayer is when it comes to core values, they really do two things. Number one, core values shape culture. So the things you value become the culture that you get. We value God dependence. We pray that if this is your first time here at Walk Church, you leave with a sense of those people really value God. Whether it's in the prayer or the preaching or in the fellowship or in the connection or in the generosity, God's in it. That's right. God dependence means that I'm completely reliant. To be a dependent means you're reliant on someone or something. We are God reliant, God dependent people here today. And for God dependence to grow, for God dependence to increase, I believe prayer and fasting are the ingredients to grow in it. Amen. And so if our God dependence as a church, not just for me, not just as a team, not just for an individual, but as a house, as a body, my prayer is that heaven would have an aroma to it that says, something's happening in Vegas. Like, God's doing stuff. There's stuff happening all around the world, but there's a little kind of group of people in Las Vegas at this, like, middle school. God's doing something there. Like, there's a whole lot of alerts, inboxing, alert. The line is busy with Walk Church. And God says, that's where I'm going to lean in. I've been reading through the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. But sometimes I find myself reading about, man, that was so powerful for them. I don't want to just read about book of Acts. I want to experience the book of Acts. You could go back and find books and read about the movements of God in Wales or the Azusa Street revivals or what God was doing in the East Coast or what God was doing in the book of Acts. Friend, I don't want to just read about what happened then. I want to live in a movement now. Yes. Come on, amen? I want to be a part of a movement. But can I tell you that every great movement that ever happened, movement of faith, always started with one thing: people getting God dependent, people praying, people hungering, people, not just a person, but a people hungering after the Lord, and God moves in ways that are supernatural. Things change, things happen because of God. And so I want to invite you, I want to compel you, I want to ask you, would you join with us?
Yes.
For the next 21 days, starting tomorrow, with prayer and fasting. Now, let me give you some of the why, some of the how, all in one. Like I said, God dependence is one of our core values. It shapes our culture, but it also drives our decisions. And our decision is driven to say, okay, Lord, what have you called us to do? And in Matthew chapter 6, we find Jesus preaching what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Let me tell you, Jesus is always the better preacher, all right? So I'm grateful to go to his word in this sermon and just pull some principles that he gives us in Matthew 6 that we could then apply when it comes to thinking rightly about prayer. Matthew 6, verses 6 all the way through 8 is where we'll look at, starting in verse 5, actually. And so if you're ready, say ready.
Ready.
Well, if you're hungry, say let's eat.
Let's eat.
Well, Father, right now as we prepare to eat from your word, we ask you, Holy Spirit, who's right here. We're not inviting you. We're asking you. We're acknowledging you. Speak to us now, Lord. Remove the callousness of our hearts. Move out distraction of self. Block out pridefulness. Unclog our ears. God, we're listening to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, come on, feel free to read it with me if you want. Ready, set, go. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He continues. There's a little bit more that he wants us to catch in verse 7. Verse 7, he says it again. He says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Amen?
Amen.
This is Jesus. He's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he's giving clarification and instruction when it comes to prayer. A couple things we're going to learn here that I think can broaden our understanding of this topic. First off, when it comes to prayer and fasting as a whole, it's never an if statement. It's always been a when. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Come on, let me just bold it really quick for you on verse 5. He says, and when you pray. Did you catch it?
Yeah.
I think in our minds, we shifted to say, and if you pray. Let me give you this reality statement. Take a screenshot of it or write it down. When it comes to prayer and fasting, it's never been an if. It's always been a when. So what we're doing with the 21 days, it's not like a, oh, that walk church, clever idea. No, this is what Jesus expected us to do. In fact, I think churches should be praying more. I think that we should all have an aroma of prayer. It's kind of weird that we even have a value of God dependence. That's kind of expected from Jesus. Amen. He thought his people would actually pray. So he says, when you do it, here's how you should do it. You know, I've recently have attempted to try to get back in the gym. Come on, anybody else? Can anybody else? Some of you are like, I'm working on it, all right? Or just say in athletics as a whole, one thing that I was big on, you know, whether it's playing basketball, or especially if you ever golf, and golf is the most annoying sport in the world. Sorry if you love golf, right? Just because of the principle I'm about to say. Whenever I go golfing, it's always somebody that's like, hey, Pastor, hey, I just make sure you get your form right. Oh, you turned your shoulders a little too much there. Oh, wait, you got to, and it's like, move your feet a little bit to the left. No, a little bit to the right. All right, right there. No, oh, you moved your shoulders again. I'm like, ah! What's my point? The form matters. Like if you go into the weight room, like I was working out with a buddy the other day and he was like, hey man, it was a good set, but you gotta make sure you keep your form right. Because if you mess up your form, you can either do the lift wrong or you can actually hurt yourself, right? And so when it comes to praying, getting the form of our prayer right can actually be more effective than if we get it wrong. We don't want to just walk in the gym and just start flinging weights around, you know? I'm working out. I was there for 3 hours. I just was doing it. No, like you can actually get more out of it if you do it right. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he says, when you pray, do it right. Don't be like the hypocrites. Now, a hypocrite is not actually even a bad word. It's just, it's not in its right context there. What do I mean by that? A hypocrite, in the original usage of it, was an actor. Somebody who would go to, like, say, for instance, like a Broadway play. They would put on a mask, a costume. They would transform into a character, and they would perform the part of the play. Nothing wrong with that, except if you try to bring that mentality into prayer. Jesus doesn't want you performing in your prayers. Come on, amen? Jesus goes, look, hey, you can take the mask off now, dude. Or girl. Right? Like, you don't have to, like, perform in front of me. Praise God. Amen. He says, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and they love to pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, there's a second win. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I was thinking about the form, trying to do this rightly, and it led me to write this reality statement down. We're not praying to be seen by others. We're praying because we're seen by the Father. Amen. Right? When it comes to the form of your prayer, the way you do it, it's not to impress others. It's not to be seen by others. It's not that somebody would say, wow, what a great prayer you are. Jesus says, that's a pretty shallow reward. That'll be it. But he says, actually, when you pray, you shouldn't do it so that you can be seen by others. You should do it because you're seen by him. Yeah. The greatest audience, the greatest amount of attention you need in your prayers is really from one person. That's God himself. If God shows up, your prayer was effective. And so he says, here, when it comes to prayer, don't just jump in the prayer room and just start throwing weights around to be seen by others. But in fact, he says, and you can actually shut the door, maybe leave your phone outside of it, and take your AirPod out and pray. And the greatest, simplest, best definition of prayer is this: talk to God. Yes, the devil and his entire army will do everything he can in your life so that you will just not talk to God. It's that powerful. So for the next 21 days, we're going to really try to lean into this topic. Verse 7, he says, when you pray, Do not heap empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I love that right there. So I was thinking about that idea. I wrote down this phrase. We're not praying using empty phrases. We're praying with authenticity and intentionality. Did you catch it? You ever met with somebody and you're like, don't tap them if this is them, but maybe you're like at lunch, or maybe it's like your spouse, or maybe it's your kid or something, and they're just going on with this story and you're like, get to it. Come on, get there, spit it out. All right, get to the point. Okay, I'm glad that was happening to you when you were 10 and this was the cereal you ate. Okay, what's the point of this? What are you telling me? Some of us need to work on our patience over, you know, the 21 days, right? That's always a dangerous prayer. Lord, give me patience now. The Lord will be like, okay, be ready. Be ready for that stoplight. Be ready for the long line at the grocery store. Okay, right? We're not praying using empty phrases. Sometimes I think the Lord kind of feels how we feel. Get to it. You're in prayer. I think it's good to start with praise. God, you are good. You are big. Hallowed be your name. Now get to it. Right? I think that the Lord is, he's not insecure. He is worthy of glory and all praise. And come on, like a meeting that you have been waiting for, and it's important, and it's a big deal, you should go into that meeting a little bit of sense of preparation. Yeah. God, I got an agenda with this prayer meeting. Yes, I just want to be with you, and I'm grateful for you, but I'm coming to you with an intentional prayer right now. Jesus says, you don't got to use a ton of words. I already know what you need. I'm trying to get you to know what you need. So let's talk, right? Let's get to it. And there's power in those prayers. Authenticity, intentionality. I love the word authenticity. Another one of our core values, authentic community. I love authentic praying. Can I just say something that I hope doesn't get me in trouble? I'll apologize later if it does. Know my heart up front. I've been in some prayer meetings that have been really powerful. And even in a prayer huddle moment, somebody started praying. They were being very authentic with their prayer and slipped a cuss word out. And what happens? Always there's a few folks that kind of lift one eyelid up. Did a lightning bolt strike? Is everybody okay? Can I tell you, God ain't scared, all right? That's terrible English. He's just fine. Someone's going to say, wow, Hayden just endorsed cussing. I'm not endorsing cussing. I'm endorsing authenticity in a moment, and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will kind of smooth out some of the rough edges, if you know what I'm talking about. And yeah, I'll pull someone aside and say, hey, maybe we won't use that language next time. But listen, I love the authenticity. This was an individual on multiple different people over the years praying, and this is their way of expressing passion. Oh, man, this is hilarious. I'm not saying that that was necessarily right. I'm just saying that's better than you being fake.
Right. Come on.
Sometimes I feel like let's just pick somebody. What's a random name? John. All right. It's always a John, right? Let's imagine John, and I'll be like, yo, I know John. I play ball with John. I've hung out with John. I know who John is. All of a sudden, it's their turn to pray, and they're like, Heavenly Fathereth, Jubilee on high. The gates are open and God is glorious and bless me and Lord all the earth. And I'm like, dog, this ain't you. You're performing. We're not just watching you, we're praying with you. It's better to be authentic and intentional. When you pray, Jesus gives us some form for our praying. So number one, first reality statement when it comes to praying, right, is that it's a when, not a if. The second, right, is we're not just heaping up random phrases. We're being authentic and we're being intentional with our praying. And it's not to be seen by others. It's because the Father sees us. The final one when it comes to praying that I want to get our hearts and our minds really on the same page with is we're not just rambling, we're also listening. Can I lean in real quick? We're not just talking to God. I think there's power in that, obviously. 21 days. We're focusing in on it. We're going to do a 24-hour day of prayer within the 21 days. Come on, get to Wednesday nights. We've been having the overflow room open on Wednesday nights. Come on, Janaki, right? We've been lifting it up. We've been pouring out. These Wednesday nights have been special. I want to encourage you to try to get there if you can or get there online. But there's going to be a lot of stuff we're doing in the 21 days of prayer, the 24 hours of prayer, etc. But I want to say this, not just praying, definitely not just rambling, but taking time to listen. There's this way to pray that's called listening-based prayer, where you leave a little extra time at the end of your praying to just listen. Like, let's use another example. You ever been meeting with somebody and they're going 100 miles per hour? They're sharing all the details, and you're like, I got something to say. I could help with that. Okay, yep. All right, yep. No, I'm listening, sure, yep. And you're like, man, if you would just give me a second if you would just listen, I just got something I want to just share. I think the Lord's like that. I think the Lord in our praying, more effective praying, is leaving some space for listening. Holy Spirit, is there anything at all that you want me to hear right now in prayer? God could drop 100,000 idea on you right there in the moment if you would be open to listening. I think sometimes we get up too soon. We're in prayer. We sign, seal, and deliver it in Jesus' name. Amen. Right to the phone. All right, where we at? Yeah. And the Lord was like, maybe I'll catch you in the car, right? He's already there. And I think prayer-based listening is powerful. There's this moment in the Old Testament. Was God in the fire? Was God in the earthquake? Was God in the tornado? And it says, but no, he was in the soft, still whisper. In order to hear a whisper, you know what you got to do? You got to quiet down. Shh, I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to hear. Shh, too much distraction, too much. I got to quiet the noise so that I can hear his soft, still whisper. I think that's why Jesus says, close the door. I think that's why Jesus says, just come to me, just me and you, and listen for my voice. Look at what Jesus says in John 10. I think some important verses that come out of the Gospel of John. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. What a promise, amen. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Amen, right? Come on, Vanessa, right? No one will snatch them out of the Lord's hand. When we're in him, when we're in his hand, nothing is going to break that fellowship. I praise God for the promise of John 10. But don't just camp out here, although this is gold. Go up to here and say, oh, Lord, well, let me hear your voice better. 2023, God, I heard you, but this year I didn't graduate from hearing you. I didn't fulfill a course of hearing your voice. God, I want to hear you now. Lord, help, as a sheep, right? This is metaphorical language where he's the chief shepherd. We're following his lead. We need his voice. He leads us down green pastures, right? He helps us lie down. He feeds us, protects us. He's God. Lord, help me to hear you. I had a moment recently where I felt like I learned this principle that much more. Because in order to do this, it takes faith. In order to actually listen and see if the Holy Spirit might want to communicate something to you, always in the context of the Bible, he's never going to give you something that is not for your good and also not outside of the authoritative words that are already contained in the scriptures. It takes faith to listen, though. And I remember a moment recently where I got invited to speak a chapel message to a sports team who had a big game coming up. And I got invited to do the message only about an hour or two beforehand. And so I was on my way there. And so in my mind, I began to think, okay, what's a message I recently preached that I think could be a good fit for this moment? and I started to kind of circulate, even looked at my phone, there's some different points. I got some notes in here. What did I recently talk about at Walk Church? Or what was I recently preaching on? And the Holy Spirit convicted me. And the conviction was this. I never asked him what he wanted me to preach. I just thought, what did I do in the past? Maybe I can use that. And so what did I do? I had to stop what I was doing, carve out a moment of intentional faith, a prayer that looked like this. Father, forgive me for just trying to rely on what was. God, would you show me? I just want to listen for a moment, guard my heart, protect my mind, drop an idea on me, an illustration. I got my Bible right here open. Do you want me to go somewhere? Do you want to take me around your world for a minute in the book? Where should we go? It's your message. Yeah. I would dare not want to just preach my own ideas. And all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Spirit remind me of a psalm, which I kind of remembered, but I flipped open to, I began reading it. Guess what? It was a message for me. I'm like, oh, this is speaking to me. This is a word on time for me. I forgot about the chapel message. I'm growing deeper in the word. And suddenly all of a sudden points start developing. I got a whole message that's being developed right there in the moment. I had to get back in and I'm ready to go with some power. And I feel like the message came from prayer. Not just from my own thought or this is a good idea, but how often do we not invite God in and acknowledge his voice? Lord, take me deeper in this time of prayer. As you continue in Matthew chapter 6, he doesn't just say when you pray, but Jesus goes on into verse 16. Now look what he says here. Verse 16, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, come on, boom, there it is. And come on, when you fast. So it's not if you pray, it's when you pray. And it's like, yeah, I'm down with that, but it's not if you pray, it's when you fast. Well, maybe I'm just bothered by that when statement right there because I struggle with fasting. Anybody else? Anybody else like food? Come on, right? Fasting, I got a love-hate relationship with fasting. And can I tell you, fast is never a fast. It's like, it's slow. It's like, man, we're only on day 12? It's like 21 days? And when you fast, now look at the form. Shoot the ball right. Hold the club right. Go about your fasting the right way. Don't just do it. Be careful that you're not just doing a diet. Right. There's a difference between dieting and fasting. Right. Fasting, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites performing. For they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, he says, and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I love this. We're getting the teaching right from the Lord himself. He's teaching us how to lead. He's teaching us how to live. He's teaching us how to pray. He's teaching us how to fast. He says, when you fast, you don't got to tell everybody. You don't got to walk around and, yeah, man, I'm just... It's rough out here. I'm fasting. The Lord's like, all right, boom. You got what you wanted. Maybe somebody might think you're spiritual. And the Lord says, no, you don't got to do that. It's a faith thing. It's between me and you. I love this thought. Write this down. Prayer connects us to God. It's like good Wi-Fi. It's not the AOL dial-up. Remember that? Anybody? Some of y'all too young for that, right? You used to have to dial up to get on the internet. We want good Wi-Fi to take you straight to God. Yes, that's what prayer does. Fasting disconnects us from the world. Yes. Prayer, come on, right? Prayer gets you to God, and we need God, and we need his voice, and we need time with the Father. Fasting takes something of the world, something of the flesh. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Something even as good as food, right? And it's saying, you know what? I'm going to say no to something temporary to say yes to someone eternal, right? I'm going to say no to even a plate. I'm going to say no to a specific thing. I'm going to say no to something that's distracting so I can say yes to something that's better. I like how John Piper writes on the topic. he says it like this. When it comes to prayer and fasting together, he says, that's what I think fasting is at heart. It's an intensification of prayer. So that's why they have to go together. Prayer and fasting work together. It's a physical explanation point at the end of the sentence. We hunger for you to come in power. It's a cry with your body. I really mean it, Lord. This much I hunger for you. Yeah. Come on, right? I love this quote because what it says is this. Along with my praying and my fasting, that maybe it's that stomach growl, or maybe you're fasting from a dessert or a delicacy and you really want that. It's you trading in that desire and you're shifting it toward him. And it's in that moment that God's growing us. He's creating discipline in us. He's disconnecting something. There's a moment in the Bible where there's this individual who's got some demon possession on it. The disciples are trying to cast the demon out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. And they even say, yo, Jesus, we're going to have to tag you in. This ain't working. And Jesus goes, oh, that only happens. That only comes out with prayer and fasting. And he couples the two together and he says, there's something about spiritual fasting and the discipline of it unlocks things. It releases, it sets free, it changes things, and it's challenging. It's challenging to do work in the supernatural, to do work in the spiritual. Addictions are challenging, come on. But what if you had a different way you viewed addiction? An addiction is where you are reliant upon something so much so that it consumes your affections and your mind. You'll do whatever it takes to get that thing. What if you applied the addiction mentality to him? I was reading this quote from David Platt. He writes on the topic of prayer and fasting as well. He says it like this. Platt says, our relationship with God in prayer should look like a consuming addiction in our lives, not a convenient addition to our lives. What is a convenient addition? A convenient addition says, all right, big fella upstairs, I'll talk to you tonight before I go to sleep. When it's convenient for me and it's just a quick moment. It's just a little bit of an addition. What if this became a lifestyle thing? I got to get time with God in. I can't miss that. I can't overschedule my time with God. Martin Luther said he used to have to spend the morning time in prayer because the rest of the day was dependent on it. He had to get with God in order to be effective in what his calling was. God, give us an addiction mentality to you during these next 21 days. It's not going to be easy. Fasting is difficult. I know for me, disconnecting from something can be challenging. But I want to use that disconnection moment and try to connect myself that much more to him. And by faith, I'm believing, Mark 11:24, that God's going to meet me there.
Yes, amen.
He's going to show me something new. Think about Ezra, the minor prophet Ezra, as he receives news and gets ready to go into a leadership moment with the people of God. Ezra 8, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves. You want to know a way to grow in humility? Pick up fasting and prayer. That we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and our goods. Ezra said, you know what we should do? We should pray and fast. Nehemiah goes to build the wall. You know what we should do? We should work on the prayer and fasting. Esther, prayer and fasting. David, he knew about prayer and fasting. Jesus says, when you pray, when you fast, these things work together. And can I just say, as a pastor myself, if I don't put the discipline in place, I won't do it either. D.L. Moody, the great Chicago revivalist preacher, Moody says, he writes on this topic, and Moody goes, if you say, I'll fast someday, I'll fast when God lays it on my heart, he goes, you never will. I'll fast when God tells me to fast, and you won't. You're too cold and indifferent to take the yoke upon you. Convicting. Jesus expected us to do this, friends. And I really believe it. Try to change the way you view it. Come on, we need a fresh start this year. Somebody say fresh start.
Fresh start,
fresh start, right? Fresh start 24, I'm going to start with God. prayer and fasting. Lord, I'm believing you for certain things. I'm even showing you. I'm putting the exclamation point with my prayer and fasting. Let me give you four different ideas when it comes to prayer and fasting before we close. Fasting could look four different ways. I want you to consider this because my hope is you'll take some time today at some point and you'll think, okay, how's this going to look for me? One is called a selective fast. It's removing certain elements from your diet. Maybe you might say, you know what, desserts or breads, or you might say, you know what, I'm going to fast from maybe I'm fasting from soda this month. You're going to select something and say, that's what I'm going to fast from. And for 21 days, trust the Lord with it. If you break the fast on day 7, just start right back up. It's all good. Come on, right? We're not earning God's favor. That's handled at the cross. What we are is going deeper. Partial fast is abstaining from eating any type of food in the morning and afternoon. A partial fast says, you know what? I'm going to take a specific time of the day. Maybe I'm going to fast all the way till 10 a.m. And maybe you're like a big breakfast person, and that's going to be challenging for you. Well, that might be a partial fast to consider. Or maybe you're like, you know what? I always like to eat Taco Bell after 9 p.m. Not a good idea, by the way. Sometimes a good idea. Come on, right? But maybe you might say, okay, I'm going to select a certain time, and I'm going to stop eating at that time. Pray about it. Ask the Lord. Maybe you're going to fast. Maybe a complete fast is where you drink only liquids. Now, I would say if you don't have a lot of experience with fasting, to try to do this for 21 days would be a very, very, very challenge. And I would only do a complete fast where you only do liquids for 21 days if you really hear God's voice and you really feel confident that he's calling you to do that. But one thing you may want to consider is maybe you'll do a selective fast, and one day out of the 21, you might do a complete fast. So maybe you might say, you know what, I'm out of these 21 days, I'm going to pick one, and I'm only going to do liquids that day. And that could just be a way to go for it. A soul fast. Now, biblical fasting has to do with food when it comes to biblical fasting, but there is power, I believe, in a soul fast. Because if you're maybe you might say, you know what, I'm going to fast from this specific food, but your soul is all consumed by negativity. And you might say, you know what, I need to go on a 21-day soul fast, whether that's social media, or maybe you watch the news, or you watch specific shows, and you're like, you know what, I need to fast from that for the next 21 days so that I can disconnect from something, connect myself to someone. That's prayer and fasting, amen. That's what I want us to do. That's my ask. I'm going to go on it with you. Nina and I, we're thinking about it. She's going to do her thing. I'm going to do my thing. And we're going to pray and fast. And we're going to go deeper for 21 days. Amen. Amen. So good. I'm not walking off the stage. That'd be funny if I did. As we close, here's one thing that we can do right now. It's the first Sunday of the year. It's the first Sunday of January. And here at Walk Church, on the first Sunday of every month, we always take time to partake in what the Bible calls communion, the Lord's Supper. And what this does is it's a moment, it's an invitation for us to remember the body of Jesus broken for our sins on the cross, and the blood of Jesus that covers our sin and washes it away. So as you approach the table, it's not an if you should, it's when you do as a believer in Christ. If you don't know Jesus today, if you haven't put your faith in him, then this might not make sense. Feel free to reframe at this time and think about what Jesus has done for you. But for those who do call Jesus Lord and believe, as you approach the communion cup and look deeply at this juice in this cup, or online, grab something from the fridge so you can do this with us. Remember that he died for you. Look at this and stare at it until you see your sins washed away. Grab the little packet and remember that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He washed it, amen. And if the Lord puts on your heart repentance of something, turn from it and say, Lord, thank you that you paid for that. I'm gonna stop doing that. Now I'm gonna take this. If the Lord puts on your heart a relationship that maybe you need to make right, you making that relationship with right doesn't earn you this. This right here is supposed to just kind of boost you to do the right thing. because your sins are paid for. Do it. Because you're not earning anything, you're already forgiven. That should move you to get right with God and his people. Amen. Not because you have to, but friend, because you get to. So I'm going to pray right now after I say amen. A table there, a table there, and in the back as well. As we sing this last response song, at when you're ready, feel free to approach the communion table. Feel free to come to the altar and pray. Leave a little bit of room for listening and trust the Lord during these 21 days. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for your blood, your bread, your body. God, thank you for the calling on our lives to prayer and fasting. Not a if, but a when. So Jesus, I pray right now with faith alongside my brothers and sisters. Help us do this. Help us live this. God, we do need you, and God, we do trust you. And God, I pray that as we respond now, if there's anybody in the room that doesn't know you, this would be their moment to take a step of faith, to cross the line of faith. Surrender your life to Jesus and trust him with all. Call on his name just right now. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive me for my sins. I trust you with it all. I turn from my sins. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the grave. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me new. I'm ready now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.